Welcome back to the MBH podcast, Money Buys Happiness. We're back home. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back home, back in the studio. Feels good to be here.
Does it?
In the studio, yes. With this shit weather, no. But in the studio, yes. Now we're happy to be home. Guys, before we get into it, you know what to do. Like, subscribe, leave a comment. Literally, we take anything. Every time I say that, people always just...
They'll literally comment anything.
We'll take it. It's cool. Comment
what you're doing today. How about that?
Yeah, comment what you're doing today, guys. We're on Snapchat, right? What? At the MBH podcast.
Yep.
Some exclusive content there, some extras that go there. So make sure you
subscribe. The merch is still going.
Guys, the merch is still up. We're still doing our thing. I mean, it's almost gone. The boxes are depleting in the corner here.
Yep.
But yeah, we love you guys. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Ernesto, what the fuck's going on here?
Guys, we have been talking a lot in the last few episodes about male roles, female roles, society, relationships. And a lot of you guys have hit us up and said, yo, you guys need a female take on these opinions, right? So, Christina Cataman, how are you?
Hey. I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Thank you for coming.
Yes.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. Pleasure. We've been talking a lot, like I said. We talk a lot about the Western world versus Eastern Europeans and just, like, I guess, the rest of the world, actually, because the West right now is a joke. So we're going to talk a little bit about that.
Wow, straight to it,
It's true, it's true.
Straight to it. Blunt as it can be, eh?
So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about some relationship stuff because we have a lot of opinions on that. We've been talking about them a lot. And the audience has been going crazy over them. But we're going to start with just a little bit maybe about yourself. Who are you and what you do?
So my name is Christina Cataman.
Yes.
I was born and raised in a small country called Moldova, which... Many people don't know it's located between Ukraine and Romania. It used to be in the USSR, so it's a former USSR republic. I moved to Canada 11 years ago.
Okay.
And I'm a former corporate, I guess you could say, like, I don't know, boss bitch would be like the appropriate. Corpies?
What do they call them?
Corpies? Corporate bunny?
Corpies? Okay, I've never heard of that. I like that though. Yeah, so I'm a former corpie. I used to live in Alberta, and I'm a turned comedian / lifestyle blogger, entrepreneur. And also a podcaster.
Yes.
Not that long ago I started a podcast. So,
When did that start?
It started 2 years ago. No, year and a half ago, I think. Yeah, year and a half ago.
Yeah, the content's been great. Like, ever since Ernesto showed me your stuff, I was like, yeah, we need her on the pod. Because, again, like he said, we talk a lot about relationships, gender roles, all these different things, the West going in the horrible direction. And then he showed me your content. I'm like, damn, she kind of says a lot of the shit that we say. It's a lot
outspoken like us, but in a more, I feel like you're more professional when you do it and more educated.
Much more professional.
We're just like a couple of guys just talking shit. So you're going to legitimize our opinions now, hopefully, right? Yes. Or not.
Huge responsibility.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, yes.
Getting nervous all of a sudden.
So you talk a lot about, obviously, the West versus Eastern Europe,
right?
In terms of relationships, just lifestyle traditions. Mm-hmm. In your opinion, what would you say are like the biggest differences that you've noticed?
Comparing it strictly to Eastern Europe and Slavic nations, I think the biggest difference is the Slavic world and Eastern European nations, for the most part, have figured out equality of opportunity between like men and women.
Yes.
But without totally diminishing or destroying gender roles.
Okay.
Okay.
Whereas in the West, I feel like we have kind of gone beyond equality of opportunity and we have almost diluted gender roles, and we have been emphasizing almost like equality of outcome, which is a whole other issue in and of itself,
of
just on a societal level. But, you know, back home, if you are a woman who says that, you know, in your man, in your husband, you want a provider, you want a protector, especially, you know, if you want to have kids with that guy, you want him to kind of take the lead and you want to be a little bit more about taking care of the family, taking care of the children. That is praise. That is never looked down upon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whereas in the West, I have experienced and seen and heard many instances of women being looked down upon for wanting that or having that even.
Yeah.
It's like, well, if you're not a corpie, like, what do you even do for a living? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you're 100%. Just a stay-at-home mom. So I think that is the biggest difference. And it's changing, of course, you know, like, because people like us are speaking up.
Mm-hmm.
But still, there's this level of, you know, if you want those things as a woman, you're almost perceived as like a gold digger. It's like, well, all she wants is money, you know?
I want your opinion on this. Do you think, and this is speaking generally, do you think that women would be more happy in a role like that, in a more caregiver, homemaker, taking care of a family role rather than a corporate, like, hustling role? Again, speaking generally, because I know there are women that would maybe be happier.
So, yeah, I was just thinking, I think a lot of women would be happier because that's in our nature, right? That in our nature to nurture, you know, for our children, for people. Mm-hmm. Whereas for men, it's in their nature to protect and provide. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of women would be happier if they just admitted that to themselves.
Yes.
But they are brainwashed. Again, not all, like, honestly, like, speaking, I enjoyed my corporate era. I was really in my hustling and bustling and meetings and all that kind of stuff. I really, really liked it. But it hit me as I was maybe starting to get a little bit closer to my 30s or something, when I started to think about the idea of, like, having a family and the dynamic that I would like to have between myself and my husband. And I was like, I think I've been brainwashed into thinking that I will feel super fulfilled if I continue to hustle, not a 9 to 5, but, like, you know, 7 to 6 p.m., yeah. 7 a.m. Yeah. to 6 p.m., and then come home and still somehow miraculously have time for, like, my kids and my husband, be a good wife, be a good, you know, it seems a little bit imbalanced to me. So I'm not saying that women can't do that. I've met some women who can, but you have to be that type of woman. And I think many women are brainwashed into thinking that this is exactly how you should be doing it, you know?
Do you think it's because of the media, education? Like, what are the causes of that?
I think it's because of women.
Just women
in
general?
We did it to ourselves. Well, not we, because I'm not from here. But women did that to themselves, you know? And yes, the media played a huge part into it. Look, I think, you know, I wanted to start this by saying, to start that answer by saying, it's the feminists and they are to blame.
Yes.
I'm careful saying that because feminism was very important and continues to be in many parts of the world.
Yes.
But in 2023, when realistically speaking, men and women are, they have equal opportunity in the West. They just do. I mean, look at me. We're sitting in the room. I run a business. You run businesses, or, you know, I can be a female CEO if I want to be. You can do literally whatever you want. So this narrative of, you know, we are in some way, shape, or form oppressed, or there's still oppressive patriarchy in the West is ridiculous to me.
Yeah.
It was important when, you know, we couldn't vote and we literally didn't have the same equal opportunity with men. Yeah, that was important. But now, feminist, like, what do you do in the West if you're a feminist, exactly?
Well, it's like you're absolutely right. Like, the initial goals of feminism were important, being able to vote, things like that, equality to that level. But then I think what tends to happen when you create I don't want to say like cults, but when you create these cults who are fighting for something, maybe in a moment that it's good, like what you're fighting for is good, but what ends up happening is, inherently as humans, I believe we're greedy and we always want more.
Right.
So it's like, once the feminist movement got what it wanted, it was like, well, let's keep going, right? Yeah. And then you kind of get people that get involved in the movement that maybe aren't, they don't have the best ideas in mind, and all of a sudden you've pushed now this movement to a level that it never needed to get to.
It's extreme.
Yeah, they become extreme. Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
They've been either hurt by men, or they didn't get enough. I'm getting canceled for this. Or they didn't get enough.
This podcast doesn't get canceled. You're good.
Or they didn't get enough attention from men, because what it is to me now, and this is what I'm really against, like, you know, girl power, fighting for being able to do what you want to do, absolutely. But the moment it starts to become something against men, and the moment it starts to be the message of, well, I don't need no man. There I can do go. It all on my own. Hell no. I'm not subscribing to that. Yeah. Like, if you want to be alone for the rest of your life, sure.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't want to be alone. I want to, you know, be happily married for the rest of my life. And I'm not going to be happily married to a nice guy who's going to love me, who's going to support me, who's going to, you know, protect me, if I yell that I don't need no man and I can do it all on my own.
Yeah. How is that going to attract men to you? Good men, at least, right? Yeah. But you said something. You said earlier, you're saying about being able to work and then coming home and being a good wife. What does being a good wife mean to you?
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, because nobody... And this is also, you know, you asked me about difference between, like, East and West.
Mm-hmm.
You are taught when you're growing up as a girl to, like, potentially in the future be a good wife. And you're kind of raised to, there's always this, like, and it can go to an extreme, don't get me wrong, but there's, like, these messages that you get, like, you're a lady and, you know, you're not supposed to do these things and that and those things. And here in the West, it's like, oh my God, like, you're restricting me from, like, like, I don't want to shave my armpits if I don't have to. Like, what do you mean I'm a lady and I have to do that, you know? And it's like, well, I don't know, like, take it up with God, don't take it up with men, and you know, it's not their fault. But anyways, I think the difference is that we're kind of it's emphasized to us, like, okay, you know, what, you're going to be a wife, likely, like most likely, you know, you'll be a wife, how to be a good wife. I mean, it's a very, I guess, it could be a complex question, but I'll tell you from my personal
example. For you, yeah, like your perspective.
What not being a good wife was for me. So when I was working in my corporate, days, my husband was also, he's a lawyer. So lawyers have very stressful careers, of course. Very stressful job. So he would come home and he would just share with me his day. Like, oh, I had this happen and that happen. And, you know, he was just stressed out. So he wanted to kind of talk. And I would compete with him. Instead of being like, oh, wow, yeah, and like, what else happened? And, you know, just being a little bit more like listening and I guess more open and nurturing, for the lack of a better word. I was like, what about me and what happened in my day, you know? So that was not it. And I think just this idea that we're taught that we need to compete with men constantly. I think that's probably not being a good wife, because you're meant to bring these balancing energies into a relationship, right? This polarity. And if you're just constantly competing, like, would you like your, like, I don't know if you're single or if you have, you know.
I'm single. He's in a relationship. Would you want that?
No. I always say to my girlfriend, like, one of the most important things that she does for me is makes my house a very calming space. That, like, when I come home, because between me, myself and Ernesto and all the businesses we run and the people we manage and all those things, like, yeah, I'm fucking stressed out on a day-to-day, like, at a very high level. Some days worse than others, obviously. But when I come home, like, I'm literally walking into, like, a sanctuary. Like, from, like, outside of her being a very calm person, like, the space is clean and she takes care of it. And I come home and I don't have to think about anything at the house. Like, and then, like, there's always food on the table. Like, so it's a very calming space, right? And I think that, I always tell her, like, man, that's like one of the most important things that she does for me. Yeah. And I think, I totally agree with what you're saying. Yeah. Instead of her being like, well, I had a stressful day too. I'd be like, holy fuck, they're serious.
And, like, you know, you could argue, some women would argue with me and say, well, yeah, but I have a really stressful job. So, like, since when does he get to vent to me and I don't get to vent to him? Okay, but aren't you trying to have a happy, balanced relationship? Yes. Like, do you want this to be a constant competition? Or do you want this to be a working relationship, marriage, whatever it is, right? Like, you got to be mindful of what energy you bring into that space. You're not going to bring the same energy you're going to bring into your relationship, that you're bringing into your relationship, into your workspace, hopefully, right? Like, it's just not going to work.
And vice versa. Like, obviously, like, in my relationship, there are days where she's more stressed out and I do the listening, right? But also, it's like, that's why I think it's important, like, save some of that, like, your, like, gossiping energy for, like, your girlfriends. Like, talk to your girls about it. You know what I mean? Like, so I agree with you. I totally agree. I think that's one of the most important things that's so overlooked in relationships, marriages, like, whatever. It's kind of
special. I think even most men want that. Even the ones that are in relationships and not getting it, they just can't really say anything. Like I said, in the West, it's like the feminism movement, like, kind of got women to just go crazy. I want to work. So guys that actually want it really can't say anything either, right?
No, you're afraid and you're confused, right? You're am I saying the right stuff? Maybe I am being like, maybe I'm an oppressive patriarch. Yeah. Like, you're just confused. Like, you posted a video recently I saw when you were talking about, like, you were trying to lead a girl out like the a cafe or something.
That's crazy.
I was like, what on earth? Like, that makes no sense to me. But, like, that's why I say, like, I don't blame men for that. These low standards that women have set, men will meet. Because, correct me if I'm wrong, I mean, you guys are men. I'm not a man, but men will do whatever women will want them to do to pursue them, if that makes sense, right? So if you set the bar so low, you're not gonna want to lead a girl out again after that experience, most likely. I mean, you probably, you know, were raised in a way that you probably will.
Be okay, but not her, not the same woman, that's for sure.
Exactly, right? But a lot of guys will be like, well, I'm not doing that to women anymore because they're just
not. And that's funny, like, and that person, I'm not going to talk too much about them, but that was someone that was, like, very feminist as well. Like, I want to work, I want to do this, I want to do that. And there was that competitive nature as well. So, yeah, now that you mentioned that, it's kind of all coming back to me. I'm like, oh, shit, red flag.
You raise a good point. I like what you're saying about how they, like, women are lowering the bar for themselves. Yeah. It's like, oh, well, why did men stop opening the doors for us and things like that? Well, because you got mad at them for doing that.
Because you yelled around, you don't need no man, and you can open your own doors, and, you know, exactly.
And then you can take that to another level and go, like, okay, why am I not attracting the right men? Well, because you're on fucking Instagram posting your tits all over the place and your ass. No, we gotta speak the fucking facts.
Yeah, no, you're right.
You're on Instagram posting half naked pictures, and then you're like, oh, but I can't find a man. I'm 32 years old and I can't.
That's also a West thing though too, right? Like you would say West versus, again, going back to West versus Eastern Europe, let's say.
You got me thinking now, like when you said that, I'm like, wow, that's an interesting subject. Like actually the whole like Instagram, like I feel very, I posted a picture in a bathing suit like a year ago and I was like, I'm thinking of it in, of not from like point of view, but just because there's a difference in mentality. And I don't know if it's East versus West, because I know some examples, but maybe on a societal level, you're right. Like what I'm trying to say is I feel uncomfortable posting those pictures, but so many women feel like, well, that's just, it's Instagram, so I can post whatever I want. Yes. So I wonder where that stems from. I have to think about
that. Well, like, that's the thing, because like I don't think these women are doing it necessarily from like an empowerment thing. I can do it, I'm going to do it. I think it's just become so normalized to be half naked on the internet. And then again, what energy are you putting out into the world, and what kind of man do you think is going to hit you up? Because the men, the high value men, not to go all Andrew fucking Tate for a second, but the high value men, they don't want their woman doing that. They're not going to wife the girl that has 30 bikini pics on her thing. Right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Just my opinion at least.
Yeah. I think it depends. Like you said, you posted one, but that's not your whole profile.
Well, and I felt uncomfortable. My point is I felt a little bit uncomfortable doing that, right? I was like, this is not really my style. I'm not really like, it's not.
I think women are just doing it. It's easy attention, you know, for women to like, let's say, okay, I always say this one. If two people are in a relationship and, you know, it doesn't work out and they break up, if the female posts on her story a bikini picture, within the next 48 hours, she could be on 10 dates if she wanted.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
Whereas the male, he can post whatever he wants. He'll probably have a much harder time. Maybe 10% of that same attention will come to him. So it makes it hard for men as well in relationships. What I've noticed with people around me to kind of end the relationship that's not going anywhere, because they feel like, oh, like she has all these options and what options do I have? Mm-hmm. So they end up settling, we call it, right? I settled down. So what are your thoughts on that? Like the online world and how it's affected relationships like that, where guys are like, yeah, well, I've seen what she can post and the guys that she can get. I'm just going to sit down and stay quiet and just be in this relationship.
That's very, so instead of saying like, hey, I'm uncomfortable with you doing
I'm uncomfortable, which is a huge thing where, again, then you hear like, oh, well, you're just insecure. That's that's like the counter to that, right?
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, you're just being insecure. Like, it's fine.
You're trying to control me.
But there's also a respect factor too.
I think the respect factor is huge. Right? Like and it's like a fine line, right? Because I'm just thinking like, if my husband says to me something like, hey, you're doing this and I'm a little bit uncomfortable, I would listen to him and be like, oh, okay, like,
yeah,
my husband's uncomfortable about something, like I should probably. But a lot of women in the West may interpret that. I mean, I'm not trying to like, you know, but no, a lot true, of women will true. Be like, well, he, you know, who are you to tell me what I can and can't do kind of thing, right?
Yes.
So maybe we've normalized men just being like, I'm going to shove all of my feelings and what I am thinking.
Which happens
God
a lot.
God forbid it's perceived as like I'm being oppressive towards
her. Yeah, well, I think like men just get labeled in that sense, right? Like, if a guy was to go to his girlfriend and say like, hey, I don't want you going to nightclubs every weekend, she would be like, okay, well, you're just insecure. You don't trust me.
Right.
But then in our, like, I would speak for both of us. I would say that the same thing, but it's more of a respect thing, because like us men, we know what happens in nightclubs as well on an ongoing basis. And like, it's more going back to being the protector too. You want to be there for someone in an environment like that as well. But so it's kind of sticky, because like as a man, you want to say these things to either your partner or potential partner, but you also don't want to just be labeled as insecure. That eats at a man as well.
For sure.
You know?
I want to ask you something. I'm very interested to hear your thoughts on this. Obviously, your business, and you've built this persona online, so maybe this doesn't necessarily apply to you, but let's say you didn't have that. Let's say you were running a business, or you were a homemaker and you didn't like have your own thing, no show, no social media, or you had social media just on a basic level. Like, you posted here and there, you're fucking just liking shit, whatever. Like, just like how a regular...
Meaningful selfies.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Like, you were using social media in that way, not for your business and your brand. And your husband said, hey, I'd prefer if like you went private. Like, went private on Instagram. How would you feel about that?
Ooh, that's a really interesting question.
We got tough ones for you, yeah.
Yeah. I think it's hard for me to say, that I would feel, I would listen to him and feel okay, mm-hmm. just because I'm so involved. Like it's my main, you know, mm-hmm. basically source of business.
Yeah. But remove like that. Right? Let's say your business wasn't because of social media. You had another company. You didn't need social media to promote your business or your, mm-hmm. or your brand.
I guess I would ask why, like uh-huh. what's the reason for it? Uh-huh. And then he would also ask me probably, well, why do you want to keep it? Like what's the, if yeah. it's not a source of income for you and if it's not, yeah, I don't know, actually. I think I would really dig deep into why.
Yeah. I think it depends on the relationship too, like how much yeah. trust you guys have built together and stuff like that too.
I'm asking because that happened with me and my girlfriend.
Yeah. Yes.
So she had social media just as a regular human, no really reason. Human. You know what I mean? No business, no personal brand or anything, whatever. And I just said, hey, I think I'd be more comfortable if you were private. Mm. Now she said, why? Mm-hmm. And I explained, I said, listen, like we're building a business that I'm very in front of the camera all the time. And I'm building a brand and I'm doing all this stuff. And like, I've seen like how that's affected other people. So like guys who are whatever, building something and their follower count's growing and they're gaining an audience. And then once they find out who your significant other is, like I've seen them like harass them or make rumors up of all this happened, that happened. Nah. So I said, for me, I'd be much more comfortable if you were just private in that sense. I said, if you had a business or whatever, no problem. The way I see social media, I think social media, the main use for it is business. Mm-hmm. Like if you're on social media just fucking scrolling all day, A, you're wasting your time. But B, it's like there's not really a use for it. Like what are you gonna post? Bikini pictures? Like what do you wanna show? Your life? Like who cares what people think about your life?
I think you're absolutely right. And I think that's totally reasonable.
You see what I'm saying?
Like, now you gave me your why, and I'm like, that's yeah. reasonable.
And honestly, she didn't like she asked why, but like did it even before she asked why. Like she totally agreed with me and then did it anyways.
But also you guys have been together for what?
Almost 8 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's okay. been a while. But
let's say she would have come up to you uh-huh. and said, hey, like I really, you know, I feel this like niche really speaks to me and I really want to, you know, do some kind of business that involves, go, I have to use social media. There
do
you
it.
Go.
Yeah. So 100%.
Then, it makes sense.
Do it.
Then you're just being protective over your stuff, over your business, over her, so that nobody, yeah. you know.
100%. Yeah. And I know the internet is a fucking evil place. And yes. like people, all they want to do is put their evil energy on you. And it's so easy to do that through social media. So, and then the beautiful part, and this is why she will probably be my wife one day, is that not only did she do that, months later, she went and removed like followers and like dropped her followers down to like 400 people. Cause she's like, she ended up saying, her, yeah. you know what? You're so right. She's like, these people are from high school, this and that. Like, I don't care about their lives and they shouldn't have to know about my personal life. And yeah. I'm like, see, like, it makes sense in yeah. my eyes, at least.
It's kind of a way, yeah. speaking from somebody who literally depends on people using social media.
Yeah. You depend on right? is different.
But social media, if you're not using it for the benefit either of your business or, you know, something that you're doing, benefit of the world, inspiring sure. people, it can be a huge waste of time.
Yeah.
Like one of my friends who actually were staying with him, he just deactivated it all because he's like, it was taking up so much of my time.
Exactly.
I wasn't really doing anything productive with it. So yeah. I was like, you know? Yeah. So when mm-hmm. you approach it from that perspective, for sure. I
think makes sense, right?
Yeah.
I think you're a boss with that one, to be honest.
Yo, listen, the other side of it is that the truth is, and I think more men need to just grow balls.
Well, yeah.
Is, bro, if you want something from your partner, you got to fucking say it.
Well, going just back to that open. Point too, like a lot of men are just not communicating what they really feel with right. their partner. Right. They're like, okay, if I say this, then she's going to take it this way. Like you could have easily said, okay, I'm not going to ask her because then it's going to cause an argument or mm-hmm. she won't understand why. And I think most guys go that route.
But then they're my
they're
beta male. No, you're a beta. I'm sorry. If you can't speak openly to your woman about what you mm-hmm. want, you're a beta.
I agree with you. Yeah. And also, you know, there's a difference between, you know, we're talking, let's say like an occasional photo in the bathing suit to
of
go
course,
back to the bathing
of
suit.
Course.
Yeah.
And then if you go to a girl's profile and you can very evidently see that it's all, you know, half naked pictures just for the purpose of gaining certain maybe type of following type of
yes.
thing. So if you have a man who's like, hey, like this is just looking a little bit strange to me. I don't know if I'm 100% comfortable with that. Can we, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's totally fair.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if he was doing exactly, something similar, right? wouldn't you want to talk to him
of
and
course.
Be like, hey,
why are you taking
so many
these
women are like mm-hmm. subscribing to your, yep. you know, channel and yep. commenting fire emojis on yeah. your post.
No,
like,
it's true.
Just a little bit weird to me, you know?
100%.
Yeah.
Speaking of subscribing, though.
Yeah.
I want to ask about your thoughts on this big OnlyFans blow up craze and fucking just, I guess we can even say porn in general. But we speak to that. I know it's been like literally COVID happened and then it blew up.
Well, we had crazy. A chat, just some context too. Like we had a chat about like the whole porn thing. Not too much OnlyFans recently.
Yeah, we speak more to porn in that conversation.
And if it's like, if it's healthy for men to be watching porn, is it cheating if your husband is watching porn, stuff like that? So
that's a good question.
It is a good question. Do you think that that's a form of cheating?
I don't know if it's a form of cheating, but I would feel very uncomfortable.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Yes. Yeah.
And maybe on some level, I would think that it was a little... Like, everyone is into different stuff. I appreciate that, you know? But I wouldn't feel comfortable because I don't. Yes. And to me, that's something that is just like... it's not 100% healthy to me. As a matter of fact, you know, I don't listen to myself regarding these kinds of things and just the feeling that I have, but I listen to actual professionals like psychologists who are now coming out and saying like this is actually like a huge detriment to specifically men and, you know, relationships. So I trust that, you know, because they were saying like, I just recently was watching some psychologist's video. I don't know who he was, but he made a lot of sense. Some of the stuff you like learn from, you know, the internet these days, but he was saying that I guess it releases like a whole bunch of either dopamine or something.
Dopamine,
yeah. So then you can get that same level of dopamine in your intimate relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And then so many men who like watch porn on a regular basis literally just don't have an intimate relationship with their wife or with, you know. So it can be good for you.
I feel like it's all tying in like the whole feminist movement that we talked about and like women empowerment and them doing their thing and them wanting to make the money while porn is on the rise and men are like, okay, well, I can't get these women. I'm just going to rely on porn now.
Right.
So that's why we see, I would say that's why we see a big movement in it, right? That a lot of guys out there are not comfortable in their relationship or going out to be in a relationship with these type of women in the West.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's like, oh, I'll just watch porn.
Yeah.
That'll be my fix.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's also, and even maybe speaking more to like OnlyFans, it's given the everyday regular woman an opportunity to get into the porn industry.
Well, sell their body online.
And then it's like, well, why would I want to work a regular job when I can just post literally naked pictures now?
Make like $700,000 and then the men on the other side. Sometimes I question why my morals exist. I'm like, Mom, why'd you raise me that way, right? Because when you hear these numbers, you're like, damn.
But I'll tell you why you're like that. Because in the back of your mind, or probably in the front now, this shit lives on the internet forever. So once something hits the internet, it is there forever. Mm. And if you ever plan to be a mother, a wife one day, going back to what we were saying, even about the bikini pictures, how do you expect to get a good man, not any man, not just a man, a good man, when your nudes are on the internet?
Yes.
Right? And I think that people but in today's age, we're so short-sighted. Mm. Like we want instant gratification. We want to make money now. We're not willing to build a business or build a career. We want it all right now. And we fail to remember that we have another 50, 60, 70 years of life left. So how are you going to be portrayed down the line?
Yeah.
Yeah, great. You posted nudes and you made $1 million and you're 25 years old. You're a woman, you're 25 years old. First of all, $1 million in today's day means fucking nothing if we're being realistic. And then you got to look back and say, how are people going to look at you in 5 years?
There's also the point of like, a lot of women will see online and they'll see, oh, she made 100,000 last month. She made 50,000. But again, that's like, there's only a small percentage making that much. So imagine you like just, okay, I'm going to sell my soul now to OnlyFans. It's done. And the check comes in the first month, $25. Then what?
Yeah. Now your nudes are online.
Very discouraging.
Yes. Right?
Consistency would be very hard, right? Yeah. To maintain after that. And especially, especially with how like normalized and accessible it has become, it does worry me a little bit because everybody just seems to live in this like world of, you know, screen and
the matrix.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like to funnel intimacy into that just seems like not the best idea. Especially again, to make it that accessible. Yes. We had
someone on Katie. She was 20 years old.
20.
She made about, what did she make? 8-9 million.
Yeah, almost $10 million.
In like a year and a half. Mm. And she was telling us, like, yeah, I'm going to get out of it soon and, like, do something else. And First of all, I don't even think she got out of it.
Lie detector says that was a lie.
But you can even see like the reaction of her audience when she would post something else besides, let's say, right, a bikini picture. Like, oh, like you're still online. Like, you're still this. You're still that. Hey, post your ass. That's all we want to see.
Kind of. Oh, yeah, there'd be guys being like,
so you can't get out of it.
Yeah, stop trying to change it. Like, you're still a whore.
Like, literally, oh, wow, that, okay, direct.
And like, yeah, and then, yeah, but yeah, sure. Those
but
guys
again,
are,
she's
those
like
guys
20 years old.
But those guys are paying you $50 a month or whatever your subscription is. But that's what they see you as.
And right, then even like into the future now, I saw something again. I got to fact check this, but there was a kid who was being bullied because his mom was on OnlyFans.
Oh, wow.
And he committed suicide.
Oh.
Yeah, like elementary school age type kid. And it's like, we don't even know the effects that it's going to have, let's say, in 10 years.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah, it's a topic we talk about it a lot just because, like, there's so many women attaching themselves to OnlyFans. I feel like, obviously, it's more so our generation and the younger one. But I just feel like we don't know the consequences that are going to happen from it.
You're right. Yeah, we really don't. Especially, yeah, like, OnlyFans only became a thing. Shout out to anyone who, like, considered getting an OnlyFans during COVID and didn't.
Yeah, straight
made
up.
Made it through.
Respect. Yeah, yeah. Respect.
But I think, yeah, with the rise of, like, the whole OnlyFans thing, it's just, it's a little too in your face, you know? Mm-hmm. It's a little too much. And there was a movie that I watched a long time ago. It popped up on, like, when Netflix first became a thing, called Life After Porn.
Okay. Oh, I've seen that one.
Yes. Yeah. It was basically following these women who were like in porn and then they quit and they had like families now. And they were basically saying that like it haunts you forever.
Of course. Yeah.
You can't, even if you like pay a bunch of money to take it down.
It's impossible.
It's impossible. Yeah. Because someone out there, you know. So.
And you can see actually like going on that, like you can see a lot of them, let's say, have podcasts now or they're creators of some sort. And you can see mentally that it fucks with them. Right, they still mention and stuff like that, or you can see it when they're talking on their podcast, or like, you know, because people have reactions to it, right? Let's say they start a podcast, a lot of guys will just be like, "Oh, stick to porn," kind of thing. Now, all of a sudden, this porn star that has a podcast is now just shitting on men on her podcast because she's like, "Well, I want to change now."
Right.
So it's like this never ending circus, you know.
Yeah.
But I want to talk about even the feminization of men, which is happening a lot.
Oh, yes.
Just a sticky one, you know? But we like to talk about it because we see it. And like, again, I was raised on very traditional values.
Are you Italian?
Yeah, I'm Italian. We're both Italian.
Yeah,
we're
Italian.
Okay.
So like when I see something like that, I'm just like, yeah, it's just like, what the fuck is going on kind of thing, right? Yes. A guy in a dress is not my, it's not my style, right? But
it's not my style.
It's not my style. But what do you think about it? Have you noticed a change? And why do you think it's happening? And what are your thoughts on it?
Why it's happening, there's all sorts of what I thought was conspiracies before that are now kind of almost proving to be not conspiracies, but I think there's definitely like a design behind it,
mm-hmm,
because there's nothing stronger in society than healthy family unit, a strong father figure and a nurturing mother figure.
Yes.
You know, I'm not saying that the woman has to be a nurturing mother figure only if she's, you know, in the kitchen and staying at home with the child.
Yeah.
But if the family unit has a strong father figure and a mother figure, you can't mess with them. Like, yep,
you just
can't
mess. Yeah, it's success.
Yeah, it's
right
success.
There.
And people log in and say, yeah, but all the, you know, the issues that they may have. Yeah, sure, I understand. But I'm talking about, like, specifically if you praise traditional family values in society, which is also an interesting subject because traditional family values in the West, they're almost, like, looked down upon
of
now.
Of course.
Right?
Yeah, they are.
Yep.
And it's like, okay, I believe in the free, you know, world in the sense of like, you do whatever you do as long as you don't cause me bodily harm or like financial harm. You're, you know, I'm more of like a, I guess you could say like a libertarian kind of person, you know. But I'm very against, you know, this demonization of traditional family values and demonization of masculinity. So I think what it is some kind of purpose behind it to probably destabilize the Western world.
Of course.
Which we're seeing it play out before our eyes, unfortunately. But if you make men feminine, it's very easy to mess with men who are
of
feminine,
course,
right? Like,
yeah,
if a masculine guy is not going to, like, allow himself to be messed with,
yep,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you feminize all men, and, you know, some men are naturally a little bit more feminine, totally
course,
fine. Some
course.
Women are naturally more masculine, totally fine.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're on a societal level trying to, you know, beat it into people that masculinity is bad, because masculinity in the West is linked to patriarchy, like oppressive patriarchy.
Yes. Yeah.
And I always say that masculinity is not, no, chivalry isn't patriarchy, masculinity isn't patriarchy, yeah, and femininity isn't weakness. Mm-hmm. But we've been brainwashed to believe in that,
yeah,
yep, you know? So there's got to be some design behind it, you know?
Yeah, well, it's easier to control a society of weak men.
Yes.
Because real masculine alpha men are not easily coerced to just do anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If we're gonna gonna go crazy,
and even like a family with,
don't make me go crazy.
Yeah,
it's like, cut me off quick.
He's, I'm like, oh, no, go, oh crazy, my god, he's about to go crazy.
No, I would say a healthy family structure too.
Yeah.
And we see this a lot in Europe.
Yes.
Where, you know, governments come in and they can't easily influence these families because, yes, they have traditions that will not be broken. Mm. But let's say in the West now, where, you know, the divorce rate is higher than ever, people aren't getting married, people rather have a dog than a kid, guys are becoming women, it's not hard to change the way someone thinks or manipulate the way we, and I think we saw that during the pandemic, mm-hmm, right, where you saw other countries, you're like, wait, how come they're not acting like we are? Mm-hmm. It's because we don't have any values to stand on. They've all been taken from us or just broken down over the years through education, through mainstream. So I think the family thing, go back to what you were going to do, go crazy. But the family structure is huge. I think there's a huge attack on the family structure, like the traditional one.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it kind of just adds to that. That's speaking more to the family structure, but just as a society at large, as a whole,
yeah.
Again, you demasculate men, you remove the alpha, it's easy to coerce and convince society as a whole to do things. Because obviously, you know, if you look at any revolution over history, it was led by men. It was led by the strong men that were looking around and saying, no, none of this is making sense. We're right. taking over, right? And whether it was barbaric or not, obviously, depending on the times. Right. But you look at 2020 when people were coerced to do something with their body that a lot of people didn't want to do. A lot of people were questioning. But they, leading up to that year where this new medical thing came out and everyone was kind of iffy about it, leading up to that, we were pushing femininity so much, even in men, and demasculating men, where I think a lot of men were scared to stand up. Mm-hmm. And they were kind of just like, all right, well, I'm not an alpha. I'm, you know, I don't want to be toxic. I don't want to be this. I want to be that. So I'm going to do whatever I'm told, type of thing. Right. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like you said, if you look at other countries where a lot, especially in Eastern Europe, they weren't coerced so easily, right?
They weren't coerced at all.
No, but I went to, this is when it hit me the hardest.
Yeah.
I went to Moldova in September, October of 2021.
Okay.
So right before there was another round of like lockdowns in Canada, Trudeau just announced that if you don't have, like if you're not vaccinated, you can't board a plane, all that kind of stuff. And everything was still kind of closed here. Mm-hmm. And I went to Moldova and I remember like the moment that it hit me, I was at like the central like square kind of thing where people gather and like there's always dancing and wine and music playing and there were so many people out and I looked and I was like, this is an ex-USSR republic, mm-hmm, right?
Yes.
An ex-USSR republic is way more free right now than Canada.
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah, somebody make that make sense.
How did this happen? And you know, there's various, I guess, you know, theories as to why, like the government handled it, but why did the government handle it better there than it did in, you know, like look at Australia, look at Canada. Australia went like down the whole other.
Yeah, they went fucking real far.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, you're right. I didn't actually draw that parallel before about this whole, like how easy it was to coerce.
Well, look, you're saying Moldova, I can guarantee you they are the men there are way more masculine, way more traditional with the gender roles than they are here.
Yeah.
So when you look back at this time in history where the government and Big Pharma was trying to coerce people to do something to get this vaccine, the countries where the real fucking alpha men were, they didn't fall for it. And they said, no, we're not closing down. We're not doing anything. You guys aren't taking away our businesses and not letting us operate. We got to feed our fucking families here.
Right.
Where, and then you can even bring that to the states. There were certain states that stayed completely open.
Yeah.
Shout out Florida. Yeah.
Texas.
And that is when you guys decided to open and up that is to Miami. When we, was it actually?
Literally. Yeah.
Right away.
Yeah. Well, I realized also that in Canada, the way our system works is he's kind of a dictator once he gets elected. Yeah. We just lucked out that our dictators before this have been, and people criticize me for saying that so much. Like, no, that's not dictatorship. Like, what do you mean?
No, it is.
Yeah, no, it is.
It is, because he
modern
can do
day dictatorship.
Yeah, he can do whatever he wants. Nobody can kick him out. Like in Great Britain, they kicked out like what, two of their prime ministers in the last like just a few months, I think.
Yep.
Yeah.
They technically should be able to do that here. We have the same more or less system. We come from, our system comes from their system.
Yeah.
But they, nobody's kicking him out. So either nobody has a backbone there or they're all in on his decisions. I don't know. But it's scary to me.
Were you ever like scared to speak out when you were about what the people, like more so like the people around you, not like random people online. Obviously they're going to hate whenever they get a chance, but maybe your family.
I breathe
stuff
and
like
they
that.
Hate on me. The wrong way. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, yes. I still am sometimes, like when I think of something and I'm like, oh, maybe I should share it. First things first, I try to become like, obviously I do a lot of like comedic content, stuff like that. Yeah. I always try to think to myself, like, am I contributing to something good in the world or am I like contributing to further divide? Yeah. I don't really want to contribute to further divide.
Okay.
But with that said, if I feel compelled to say something and if I feel that something is really my truth, I'm like,
yeah,
I should say it. And I always think about my great grandmother. Mm-hmm. Who, this is going to sound like, you know, such an emotional philosophical transition there. My great-grandmother, who lived in USSR during Stalin's times, whose husband was taken away, we presume he was murdered, for sure sent to a gulag in Siberia, because he lost his vision and he started praying at night to get his vision back. And if you know anything about communism, in communism, religion is, like, faith is not a thing. You don't worship anybody else but the state.
Yes.
So his neighbor reported him for praying. He must have seen it through the window or something. And pretty much, like, I think the next day, they were saying someone from the state came, took him away, and he was never heard from or seen from again.
Wow.
So I think to myself, like, my great-grandmother,
wow,
if she knew where I am right now today and how much opportunity I have to speak up, of course, you know, maybe not as freely as like you used to be able to, but still, you know, we're much mm-hmm. more free to speak up about things yep. in this part of the world than of you course. Are in other parts. If she found out that I'm here and I'm just like, I'm too scared to say this because what if somebody says this? She'd be like, what's wrong with you? Like, yeah, you yeah. made it to a place where you can just,
yes.
just speak up, you know, share your opinions. You might inspire somebody. You might, you know, because what I've realized is when you have an opinion, so many other people are thinking the same thing.
Yep.
And they're afraid to speak up. So then when you yes. when they hear you say something, they're like, hey, I vibe with this idea. I really vibe with this mm-hmm. message.
Mm-hmm.
I like this person, you know? And then you kind of create this whole positive circle of like, hey, yep. we have these ideas that we share, you know?
We felt the same thing. I mean, when we started speaking out during the pandemic, I think what kept us going was like the amount of people, like you said, that were messaging us afraid to speak out. And we were kind of like their speakerphone in that sense. And we're right. like, oh, we kind of felt like some responsibility to speak out at that point. Right.
Exactly. You're now like, if I don't speak up, I'm doing a disservice exactly. to these people who are, you know, exactly.
So, well, I think it's so easy to just like, for us, it was so easy to look back at history again.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we're crazy oppressed or that we were in 2020. There was some oppression towards people that didn't want to get the shot
right.
or whatever.
Or just anybody who was questioning.
Anyone was like, questioning. You know? Exactly. And I'm not going to start comparing ourselves to the past and the type of oppression that other people have been a part of. But it, for me, I'll speak for both of us, it was so easy to just look at the past and say, why are there so many parallels to what happened during this time to what's happening right now? And how can't we literally just a quick Google search away to say, hey, something's fishy here.
Something resembles USSR. That's what I've always said. I'm like literally, and I mean, I know that it's a bit of an exaggeration and I'm a little bit too emotional when I get into these things. Like I get, you know, but I'm like, this is Stalin's USSR 2.0.
Yeah.
Just got out of, you know, the aftermath of all of that, right? Like, what's happening here? So, you know, parallels definitely exist. Yes, maybe it's not the, thank God it's not the same, but parallels definitely exist.
Yeah. It shouldn't be that hard
to
see.
It's just a nicer looking version of communism, I think. Like, they're able to...
Well, it's socialism, not communism. That's what people always say to me. I'm like, potato, potato.
No one cares. Exactly. Like, you can't do anything. That's the point, right? But yeah, I think... with their control of the media, they're able to blanket it and then show you something else. Hey, don't worry about this. Worry about this. Johnny Depp's in court. That's what you got to worry about. That was crazy. I'm just like, the submarine, all these things. I'm like, this is crazy. They're literally just like, it's a circus. Yeah, look over here. While
there was
this
that
is happening.
Recent one when in Iran, like when there was the whole revolution happening now in Iran after that poor girl died.
Yes.
There was like, I can't remember his name, the guy from Maroon 5.
Oh, Adam Levine.
Right. Yes. He cheated on like his
and that,
wife.
That was the headline. That was
like,
headline.
And the girl was like recording stories about like, I would just like to like talk about, and everybody's like, we don't give a fuck. There's like some serious problems happening in, you know, the world that are like actually like very concerning, but no.
But the timing of these things are always so, it's so unique to see it, you know? Like I never seen any court case like Johnny Depp's before. While there was just a pandemic happening, well, lockdown
over like a civil. It was a civil case. It was like it was domestic abuse. Like again, not putting that down. It's a horrible thing, but like
no, there's a much
domestic
worse.
Violence.
Much worse.
A domestic violence case getting that type of media attention while like crazy things are happening in the world. It's fucking backwards.
What advice would you give to someone that's easily, let's say, or maybe they just don't know what's happening? What advice would you give them to kind of wake up and smell the fresh air?
I will just quickly comment on Johnny Depp. He's a boss. And of course. That was we talk so much about toxic masculinity. Yeah. Let's start talking about toxic femininity. That was my, you know, like when I was looking at that.
True.
But to answer your question, go to Eastern Europe.
Nice.
Just go check it out.
Apparently there's like a trend now. Like a lot of North American men are like, oh, like I'm going to go to Eastern Europe.
Well, we call them passport bros.
Oh, is that what this it is? Yes. Oh my God, I finally found out. Somebody said that to me and I was like, what does that mean, passport bros? Okay, that makes sense.
So men from the West going to Eastern Europe, South America. Just finding women with traditional values.
Right.
That's what they're doing. Because they're like, I can't find anyone here. I'm not going to marry anyone here. I'm going to go straight there.
Yeah, so that would...
I like the concept.
That would be my... and not even, you know, if you're a guy who's listening to this, you know, not even just for the purpose of finding a wife, but just to see how things are done, how they can be done. And again, I'm not saying that things are ideal. There are still so many issues there.
Yeah.
There's a reason why I live in Canada. You know what I mean?
Of course.
Have I considered in the last couple of years that maybe raising kids, you know, one day would be nice in Eastern Europe? Absolutely, I have.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, there's pros and cons to each. The other thing that I would say, you know, the advice that I would give is if you feel, whether you're a man or a woman, if you feel deep down that something is not right, like you're not, you know, you're taking a girl out on a date, let's say, and you know you want to pay, and you know that you should pay because you're, you know, it's chivalry, it's manners, it's you know, that's just one example, but you're afraid, just do it. And even if you get rejected, even if for whatever reason she flips out and she decides that, you know, you're being oppressive or whatever, you know, just end that date. Don't go on a date with her again, but don't lower your standards just because you feel like everybody else is doing it and that is what you should do, because it's not. If you feel deep down, you're going to attract the wrong partner to yourself.
Yeah,
true.
And then that's a whole other issue, you know?
Okay, so then on that topic, what would you say are red flags in your opinion for when, let's say, a guy's going out with a girl for the first time?
Should have brought my notebook and opened it. I'm just kidding.
on both sides though, like as a woman going out with a man and a man going out with a woman.
Assuming that you want like a traditional relationship.
Like you want a relationship with this person. Yeah, traditional.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, for a woman, if you're a guy, for a woman, if you lead her out of a... No, I'm just kidding.
No, you can bring it back.
Get rid of him. Yeah, yeah. Cut him off.
But I would say if she starts to like cut you off, or if she's being, you know, all these like typical signs of disrespect towards you. Whether she's just brainwashed or she's hurt, like whatever reason may be, it's just, you shouldn't be okay with that.
Yeah.
Also, you know, if she's very much into her, like, you know how a lot of women, it's so interesting to me, but a lot of women are like super proud of being hyper independent. So they like brag about it to others. And I'm like, okay. Sure. Yeah. Maybe it's tougher for us to do that because we're, you know, we kind of have the ability to give birth and we have so many other responsibilities, but you're a human being who has like human beings' responsibilities. Like it's, you know, so if she's being like super hyper independent and you're looking for somebody who you're going to have like a harmonious traditional relationship with, whether or not, you know, she's going to want to work, if she's exhibiting these like traits of like, I'm an independent woman, I don't need this, I don't need that, obviously huge red flag. Little subtleties, I would say, like if she's not okay with you, like, you know, putting her jacket over her, or like the pulling out the chair, if she's like trying to show you that she's doing all of those things herself and you basically are there just because you're there, probably red flags. also on the other side, like, you know, if I think if you can tell that she's just looking for something specific and nothing else, like even, you know, if it's money, if she's with you just because she found out that, you know, you're successful or something like that, and you just have that feeling that maybe she doesn't have the right intentions, probably trust that feeling. Yeah. I'm really big on intuition for both men and women. Yes. You know, if you have like an intuitive lead that that person is probably not 100%, it's probably not 100%.
Yeah.
And then for women...
Go crazy.
If he offers to go on the trip and doesn't pay for the trip, bye. If he takes you out and he doesn't pay for the bill,
if he
even allows you to look at the bill, run away.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Run.
Yo, talk the fucking facts. I love it.
Because, you know, if he starts talking about like, I don't know. I mean, for me, if he doesn't pull out a chair for you, if he doesn't open doors for you, if he's letting you do all these things on your own, it's very hard to retrain somebody. And why would you want to retrain somebody, right? Yeah. Like, you're going to grow harmoniously together, hopefully, but you don't want to get into a relationship to like re-educate somebody. Like, would you guys ever want to be re-educated? No. Exactly. No. So, yeah, those things.
The bill thing though is funny you say that. Like, I mean, that I think that's a very like classic tell. Like, if he's a real masculine, like alpha male, like he'll want to pay the bill. And we were having this conversation on another podcast where I said, for me, like, it's a flex. Like, I like to be able to be like, yeah, I'm covering the fucking bill. Like, that makes me feel good.
Right.
But I think it's a flex for both you and your partner.
It is. Too. It is. Yeah. Like, yeah, my man covers every fucking bill.
Yeah. Mm.
And then vice versa, the guy's like, yeah, I work hard enough to be able to do that. Like, that's why I'm working so hard, is I can do these little things, right? Big or small, whether it's the bill's $20 or it's $200 or $2,000, right? But I want to know your opinion. I always have your opinion on this. I always have this conversation with my girlfriend about how, whatever, she'll tell me about some of her friends or people she knows, whatever. And like, she's explaining like the relationship dynamics. Actually, I'll put a disclaimer out first. None of her friends like me, because I'm...
9 years later, they still don't like you?
They liked me before when I was less outspoken. Now I'm more outspoken, me and her have these very traditional values, and all of them are living this like modern bullshit, in my opinion. Yeah, yeah. Hopefully they don't listen to this, but so they don't like me around, because I'm also very outspoken. So like, if I'm sitting at a table like with her friends or anybody, like, I'll say my opinions.
Right.
You may leave not liking me. I don't really care. That's just the kind of guy I am. But anyways, we speak to the like, some relationships and stuff, and how, oh, you know, she'll say like, oh, this couple here, they're 50-50 on everything. They split the bills. They split the chores at home. One cooks one night, one cooks the next night, whatever. And she goes, oh, well, this girl, she was raised, her parents raised her to be an independent girl. She doesn't need a man, blah, blah, blah. So that's why it's like that. And I go, yeah, that's a fair point, right? When you're raised a certain way, you're going to definitely have that structure in the way that you operate. I go, but to be honest, I think her man's not a real masculine alpha, because if he was, he could, I don't want to say retrain her brain, but he could pull the feminine energy out of her that's so deep inside, that's being locked away.
Soften her.
He could soften her up to a point where she's going to be okay with him paying for the full mortgage or the full rent, and be okay with being the only one that does the laundry or whatever, right? Like, so she's like, no, I think if you're raised that way, it's impossible, because you've been, I'm going to say, indoctrinated to believe that's how a relationship needs to be.
Yeah.
And I'm of the belief that a real masculine man can get a woman in her feminine energy.
Yeah. Especially in a relationship. Like I'm a fairly go hustle outside of my relationship, which is, I guess you could determine is more of like a masculine trait.
Sure.
But with my husband, I don't want to be that way. Mm. I don't like... Yeah. I'm going to pay for anything. You pay for everything.
Yeah.
Your money is our money. My money is my money. Okay? You know? That's what I always say to him. But I agree with you. Mm. When the man kind of steps up, and I think it's a balancing act too. Like, the man has to step up, but the woman also needs to like let down that shield of like, I'm independent. I can, you know.
Yeah.
Because if the woman is constantly in this state, like, you don't even, like, you wouldn't really want to do stuff for her. You know what I mean?
Course.
So it's on both men and women. By the way, in terms of the red flags, I completely forgot to mention if they talk about your exes, their exes.
Didn't I just say that?
Yeah, you literally,
didn't
literally
I just said that. On our last podcast, someone asked us to, like, what are red flags for you? I'm like, if they start talking about their ex,
yeah.
Cut.
It's like, you got to start running.
My brain is like catching up to the conversation that we're having. We're moving on to the topic number, and it's like, wait, there was one more.
Yeah, we're going through a lot of topics right now, but that's definitely one.
Yeah.
But I don't, even as a man, I wouldn't even want, going back to the other point, I wouldn't even want, if I sat down with a woman and she starts saying like, yeah, I do all this myself. I do all this myself. I would just be like, okay, so what the fuck do you want from me?
So continue doing it. Yeah, you know? Like, yeah. And you know, if you really think about it also, that's something I've been just, because the subject, anything I post about dating whatsoever goes viral almost instantly. And I'm like, wow, I realize that that's a huge pain subject for many.
It is.
And I do it in a comedic way most of the time. But there's obviously, you know, comedy wouldn't be funny if there wasn't truth in it, right? So anytime I post anything related to it, it goes viral. And it's kind of a, you know, not a very sweet deal for women, if you think about it. Like, you're going to be hyper independent. You don't need anybody. You don't want a man in your life. You don't want him to do anything for you. So then why would you want to be with a man? Like, just for
facts,
like,
it's true.
What's the point?
Yeah, it's
counterproductive. You want to be alone your whole life, or, you know, like, even I'm thinking to myself, if you are like really adamant about the whole 50-50 thing, whatever, do it. But don't come at me and call me a gold digger or, you know, criticize me for saying that, well, I want my husband to be a protector and provider, you know?
Yeah. So, well, usually when you see a woman in a relationship that has those traits that you mentioned, the man that she's with is not a man. With all due respect, no, maybe not even that meant.
This
that
is
much
my
respect.
This is my point. This is what I'm always saying.
Like a pattern, even that I've noticed too.
I'm saying the reason I'm like, let's say we're speaking on a certain couple. I'm like, the reason though she's so guarded and so and giving off so much masculine energy is because her man isn't doing it.
Yeah,
right.
Because if he was, I believe naturally.
But she might also just want a man that's like a half man too. So that because, she could but, still
but,
be.
But that's where it's like, because maybe that's all she knows.
True.
But if a real masculine man came around and said, no, I'm going to protect, I'm going to provide for you. Yeah. I'm of the belief that naturally, because this is in our fucking DNA, that you would at least to some extent start to open up your mind to that idea. I'm not saying they're going to be completely all of a sudden stay at home, 50 kids, clean the floors, but like me. That's dramatic, but maybe they'd be a little more open to it. So this is where I like to, you know, put the lens on the man and say, dude, you're not like, cause you're not acting.
Step up.
Yeah. Step up. Bro.
Take the lead.
Yeah.
Exactly. I agree with you 100%, but I also don't blame them because again, like we mentioned earlier, I've noticed that men will do whatever the women want them to do in a way, right? To pursue her, to be with her. So it's just as much on women as it is on men.
But then wouldn't you say that makes him a weak man?
Yes.
If he's only going to do whatever he needs to do, even if in his mind it's not right or he's not, it's not natural, it doesn't feel natural for him, but then he's like, well, I just want to get her. You're weak.
Or just want to, keep her.
Whatever. Yeah, get her, keep her. Weak.
And you got to wonder, like, why is she then attracted to that specifically? Maybe there's some trauma. Maybe she's just into that. There are, like I said, women who are naturally more masculine. It happens. There are men who are naturally more feminine. That's fine.
Sure.
But if... You know those couples that like you see and they're always fighting, they're really unhappy. And then very often, like you said, when the man is like very feminine and you can tell that he's just like,
it's just behind their like,
she's usually very loud, she's cutting him off. And sometimes like if I'm sure you guys have seen couples like that, you're uncomfortable being around.
Of course.
You know, you're
100%.
This is awkward. You know, like just say something to her. Like, you know, why are you? Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
But I think, like you said, a lot of the stuff that goes viral, let's say, about relationships, it's even like, why did Andrew Tate go viral? Because of his messaging to young men.
Right, he's an interesting one.
Who got a message. Now listen, we don't agree with everything he says, but the things that he was saying to young men about, like, you know, get off your ass, go to the gym, make money, find someone that you can support. Those were messages that young men nowadays don't get.
Right.
That's why it was super viral. Going back to your relationships and stuff, like your stuff goes viral because people want to hear something about it. They're like, wait, I've been taught wrong this whole time.
Or people think that, but they're like, wait, am I in the wrong for thinking that this is how it should be? And then they see something, they're like, oh no, like other people are thinking that too, right? So they're like, oh, I connect with that.
So we notice that too. Whenever we talk about, let's say, relationships or anything around like being a young man in today's society, it goes crazy.
Yes.
Because they're not getting any guidance at all.
Yes.
Do you notice that too?
Yes, that's actually very true. And I feel for men, you know, because there's all sorts of, you know, female empowerment, circles, mm-hmm. and, you know, breathing classes. And I mean, breathing classes are great, but like yeah. there's all sorts of like babes supporting babes brunches. Yeah. Oh my God. Not to say that like, I've been to those. They're great, you know, but not to say that you guys need like, you know, bros supporting bros, but maybe you do, right? And that just doesn't exist because men have been, and I just don't understand for the life of me why that's happened, but like men have been demonized in society.
Yes, they have.
All of a sudden, like if you're a guy, you have it easier. You have like, we're just, you know, you're, we have it way worse. Like we are, you know, more superiority. That's what my beef is with the whole current, you know, movement.
True.
That there's like almost this attempt, and it's going kind of successful for them, to establish superiority over men. It's like, it's not supposed to be about superiority. It's supposed to be about living harmoniously and coexisting with one another, you know? Not any kind of superiority.
Well, we say it too, like the worst thing you could be today is a man. That's like the lowest.
I say.
Out of all the genders that we now have, the 50 of them, we are at the lowest rank right now.
You could take it a step further and say a white man.
Oh yeah, you could do that too.
Oh yes.
Being a white straight male is literally right now we're at the fucking bottom, but we're coming up.
It's okay, bro.
I'm calling it now.
Yeah, because and you know what? Like, if every one of you comes out,
yeah,
like
we are,
things
we're coming
will get
strong.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, it's gonna be tough. We've tried to convince some.
I think. Okay, speaking to that, because it's a race. It might be touchy, but I don't give a fuck. The straight white men, we're at the bottom. We're building up, and I think that if you're a straight white male listening to this. Remember, we love you guys, first of all, but
they
second,
love too.
But second of all, remember our history. We built some of the most impressive cities. We built some of the most impressive
the Roman Empire.
Technology.
You're getting canceled for
the
that.
Roman
oh, I don't
Empire.
Give a shit. We built some of the most impressive society, some of the most impressive technology, societies, cities, all that were built by, you could say white, whatever. I'm going to say European men. So okay. I just want to make sure they know that first and foremost. But
Italian men, that's what he meant.
Well, I mean, yeah, you could take it a step further. But I'm curious. I want to know, because you said Andrew Tate was an interesting one.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on him? We don't got to go too crazy. I'm just very curious what you think about him.
You know what? I'm trying to figure this out because some of the stuff that he says I agree with, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the stuff that I've heard about him mm-hmm. is very concerning. And I have heard him actually also say things like, you know, first of all, the whole idea of how he made his first, I guess, wealth
yes.
is questionable to me.
Yes.
That was the webcam stuff, right?
Yeah. Okay. Because he portrays himself as like this religious, you know, family man. And it just seems like he has a huge double standard
mm-hmm.
from the information that I have gathered, because I haven't followed him too much. Okay. I'm not, you know, he would pop up on my feed. And again, some of the stuff that he would say would make sense. But some of the stuff was just like, okay, so you're saying that all of these things a woman can never do, but for men, it's like totally cool to like go and, you know, do whatever.
Yes.
And then also, there was one video in particular that I saw where he was talking about like how you coerce a girl into being on camera.
Okay.
And he was basically saying how like, you can't just right away approach a girl and be like, okay, like, do you want to be in front of a camera? You have to like fuck her first. And then like when she's
in a whole process.
And I was like, okay, so you... And you converted to Islam now? Yeah, and you're like, really? So this is, and you know, I'm a huge believer in the fact that like your past doesn't have to equal your future. True. But I just have questions. Mm-hmm. I have very serious questions about his moral ethics and, you know.
Well, you know what? Like the Islam thing to me and the Muslim thing to me is a very interesting topic, because there's been a lot of these men and these entrepreneurial and what high value quote unquote men converting to Islam very recently.
Mm.
And it's funny because I'm like, is this a trend? Like what's going on? Because again, they're all operating, all the ones that I see, they're operating on double standards.
Mm.
They're operating realistically against what the religion calls for. They're like, oh, I'm Islamic. I'm Muslim, this and that. But then it's like, they're on yachts with naked girls dancing around and drinking alcohol and smoking.
Yeah, it seems to me like any religious man or woman, just if you're really that into the religion, you wouldn't be doing those things, because those aren't very, you know.
Well, if you read the book,
right,
it says don't do those things.
Yeah.
So I'm like
specifically.
Is this just trendy? Does everyone want to just live in Dubai? Like, I don't get it. You know.
Well, because maybe because Dubai has been, which is funny because like there, I think the Dubai that we know, like if I go to Dubai and I go work there, for example, it's kind of separate from, well, not separate, but they have their own rule of law almost there in a way, yeah, because they had to open up to, you know, foreign investments and all of that kind of stuff. So maybe that's why like people see, because they're so incredibly well off there and they're doing such good job with managing their wealth and keeping it, you know, developing it and all of that kind of stuff. So maybe that's what it is. They see it and they, I don't know.
Yeah, I just, I think it's, it also think it's interesting because again, like we can look at history and again, I'm not against any religion,
right?
But I think we can look at history and look at a lot of Islamic states and how they've treated women in the past. I think if you look at, where is it right now? Afghanistan?
Yes.
Right? Once the states left, literally the Taliban took over within a day. And like the oppression on women is like just, it's insane.
I was reading recently that they closed beauty salons for women. I mean, I don't know. I haven't been there, but I read that they've closed beauty salons.
Makes sense that they would do that.
So you can't even.
So then
that's another thing that I always say to women who are like, life is in the West. Life is so unfair. Like men, I don't make as much money as men do. Like there's not equal pay. And I'm like, okay, would you like to take a trip to Afghanistan?
Yeah,
true.
By yourself. Just go.
Yeah.
Just because I think if you learn to approach all of these things that you're thinking about from a place of appreciation for what you have, because you live in one of the freest societies our humanity has ever known,
yes,
you would have a bit of a different outlook and you would stop, you know, just constantly complaining about things and you'd be like, hey, actually, I have a very good. Now let's build something better, you know, as opposed to like this whole system is just set up to.
I feel like people here live in a bubble, you know, they live in their own bubble. And unless you get out there and travel, you're not going to know.
Yes.
You're not going to know anything.
And people don't live and act with gratitude.
Yes.
There's zero. Mm-hmm. We're all fucking entitled in this country, especially the people that are born here. Like, I think you have a lot of your mindset and the way you think because you weren't from here. You worked to get here and like I don't know if it was on the pod or off the pod, but you said that getting your citizenship was like one of your greatest achievements.
The greatest achievement of my life.
So
the
it's like
thing I had to work the hardest for, the most seemingly unattainable dream I ever had.
Yeah. Wow. And like, and so that's why you're grateful for everything. Like just like you walk around, you're like, Toronto, it's awesome, this and that. I'm like,
I know CN Tower was covered in fog. Like, yeah, I didn't even see it, but you know.
But everyone here is so entitled. We all think we deserve more.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we forgot that you have to work for the things you want and that they're not just going to be handed out to you.
Yeah.
But that, it, you know what? I think I finally figured it out. We always say, hey, what is Canadian culture? And because we never know. We say Canada has no culture.
Right, because
you know,
it's just a pot of everybody.
Melting
right,
from pot. All over the world. You know what Canadian culture is? Entitlement. Everyone thinks they deserve everything.
We have
for
no
free.
I don't feel like we have any culture here. That's why people are easily manipulated here.
Entitlement. That's our culture.
We definitely don't have a culture. Like our culture is to have no culture. Because
that's what it is.
That's sort of what I always respected and loved about Canada is that, you know, people from neighboring countries that are at war with one another will come here and be best friends.
Yes.
You know, like this is what this place was meant to be. Mm-hmm. Welcome people from various, you know, countries in the world to make a better life, you know, for themselves and thereby making a better life for everybody else.
Yes.
But there's definitely lack of culture for sure. Because it's just, I mean, what is Canada like, right? Define, because when you think about France, you think French people, the culture, you know, you think about Zirashans, you think about Ukraine, you think, you know, all of these things.
Yeah.
But if you think about Canada, it's like, that's where everybody goes to make money and work and have a better life, right? Yeah. Like that's kind of what I think. But I agree with you. You're either a hardworking immigrant or a son or a daughter of an immigrant, and you know that, you know, you need to be working, you need to be putting in the work to achieve those things, or you're entitled.
Yes.
And you don't know how good you have it.
There's no in between.
No. There's no in between.
But even to your point quickly, I've had this conversation with a lot of my friends where I think the Canada is a failed experiment. The melting pot in my eyes does not work.
Mm.
And my reasoning behind that very quickly is, because I can go super deep, but is that people want to be around people of their own culture. Because you share similar morals, ethics, and a culture as a whole, right? So people always say, oh, like I'll speak to like my Italian friends. They're like, man, when I go back to Italy, like I feel at home.
Right.
And I'm like, because that's...
Italians are especially like that.
100%.
I know Italians who were born and raised here for generations and they're like, there's no place like Italy.
Yeah. But because that's where your bloodline's from. That's all the things that you learned, the way you celebrated Christmas, all these different things,
right.
It originated there.
Right.
And so that's why like you're happier when you're around your own people.
Yeah.
And I think that's the issue. And I think that's why there's so much conflict and inner conflict within Canada, is because the Italians are right next to the Chinese. And not that they hate each other, but there's nothing in common. You have nothing in common with these people. Their
true
morals, ethics, they're a lot of times their religion and their culture is so different. Like, what do you have in common? The only thing you have in common is that you came here to work and make more money.
Right.
But you can't, there's not a lot of middle ground between you. And then that's what ends up causing friction between these, your neighbor. Like I feel like when everybody first came to, like, I don't want to say everybody, but like, I'll speak to my grandparents. Like, when they first came to Canada, they lived in a neighborhood that was primarily Italian. Their doors were left unlocked overnight. Neighbors would bring each other food, and you'd be so much more in tune with what was going on in your neighborhood because everybody was Italian. Everyone shared, came from the same place, shared. So you felt like it was a little piece of home. Whereas like now we're so spread out. There's an Italian guy next to the Italian guy, is a Jamaican guy next to the Jamaican guy, is a Chinese guy, and you don't share any of the same values.
Right.
Right. There's no cultural similarities between you two. And eventually that can cause friction because maybe one guy likes to play loud Italian music in his backyard, and I'm making this up obviously, but, and the next guy is like, oh, I fucking hate that. And then all of a sudden you hate your neighbor.
That's interesting actually. Cause I always, there's a bit of an internal conflict for me now that you say that, because on the one hand, like, Canada needs immigrants because otherwise Canada wouldn't be Canada,
of course,
right?
Of course.
Because it doesn't have the culture that like the French have, or, you know, it's always been a country that the idea behind it was that people, same with the United States actually, mm-hmm. they have more culture.
They have way more culture.
They're way more patriotic.
Yeah.
It's different.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's very interesting.
So I'm torn between the idea of like, I get it, you want to be nice to people and you should accept everyone and whatever. But again, going back to like what we were saying about feminism, sometimes you got to just submit a little bit, like, where maybe it's not working. Maybe it's actually not working.
And maybe we just hit an extreme.
Well, because before, okay, maybe you won't know this necessarily, but Toronto 30 to 40 years ago was like little Italy, and it was all Italian people, and little Portugal, and little India, and little Korea. And so although people immigrated here, they kept community.
So that was my question, I guess, because I was trying to figure out what it is that I'm trying to like think about in this case and what you're telling me. And I was like, Canada needs immigrants. I have friends from, you know, various countries in the world, yes, from Iran to like everywhere. Really good friends. So from that perspective, obviously it is working. But I think what we're missing is community.
Yeah.
I think people, the sense of community doesn't really exist here unless you like maybe go to church or go to, you know.
Sure, there's little ways. But that's the problem where because Canada has no culture in comparison to America, it's working better there, yes, because when you come to America, you're American.
You're buying into them. Yes. You're buying into,
you're American. So you look at the Constitution and you look at that and you say, that's Constitution.
Yeah, yeah. American dream, you know?
That's my.
I said that about the Charter of Rights and Freedoms. When I got my citizenship, I was like, this is my Charter of Rights and Freedoms now.
So
and then
that.
In 2020, I was like.
Yeah, but there's videos going viral where it's like, there's like these, there's like an Indian guy and he's doing like someone's street interviewing him. And he's like, yeah, when I came to Canada and I agreed to the Charter of Rights and Freedoms, whatever, I lied. Because that's not what I believe in. I just came here to work and that was all bullshit to me.
I saw that.
And he goes, just wait. Canada is going to become a Muslim state because that's all they're bringing is people of Muslim, you know, who believe in or whatever, subscribe to Islam and all that stuff. And I'm like, yeah, that because they come here and they keep their culture,
yes,
right? We're allowing these people to come to Canada and keep their culture. Whereas in the States, like we were mentioning, you go to the States, you're American now.
Right.
Well, and even like Eastern Europe, you go to any country there, you're going to have to abide by whatever traditions that they have.
Yes.
Right?
Well, even like if I go to Saudi Arabia and I try to...
There you go.
...build a Russian Orthodox church.
Yep.
Good luck.
I would...
So there's only a few
doubt
countries.
That would be,
yeah.
You know, like...
Yeah.
Yeah, there's only a few countries that really... And Europe now is seeing a lot of, I guess, issues with that.
Huge issues with immigration.
They thought that it could work. And especially like Europeans have always had their own culture, right?
Yep.
Like every European country,
yes,
if you go there... They're different than their own thing. They have their own. Yes, they have like sort of similarities in many ways, mainly because of like the Western involvement, but they're different.
Yeah.
So they've always had their culture. And now that it's being kind of shaken, they're like, you know? Yeah.
So you know, again, the way Canada was working maybe 30 years ago, where people would immigrate, but then they would like, stick to their community. Mm. They would work with other people. And not, I'm not saying, oh, the Italians would never make friends with a Russian or a Portuguese. Obviously, they would. But like the places that they called home, their neighborhoods, were very recognizable to them.
Mm.
Whereas that's gone now.
It was their little like Italy.
Yeah,
little,
it was their little yeah. piece of home here.
Yeah.
That's completely gone. Mm. And I think I'm of the belief of that's why no one likes their neighbors anymore. Because they don't share any of this. They don't share any of the same values.
We're super divided here. That's yeah. why.
We're too divided now. So shout out communism and our dictator Trudeau. I love you, buddy.
Well, you can see it in the like, okay, UK's like that.
Yeah.
In a sense, Australia, Canada,
yeah,
where you can kind of just go and be whoever you want, which yeah. is good to a certain extent. Like we said, you kind of want to have that where, hey, be who you want to be. But yeah, if there's no culture, there's no tradition, that's such a population that can be divided easily and just manipulated easily yes. as well.
Yes, you're right. Divide yeah. and conquer is so easy to do in a place where you can hang on to this, like, okay, well, you're different because of this and you're different because of that. So now,
yeah,
you know, yeah. so.
I think you gotta get to this question here. I think that's a great one on your extras list there.
Okay, so I've dated 3 Eastern Europeans in my life. 3. If you're watching this, just maybe keep watching. And it never worked out. Was it me or was it them?
Okay.
I know. This might turn into a therapy session now.
Why did you break up?
Yeah, why did you break up?
I'm gonna say you know what's crazy? After you were saying what you said about being like, okay, like someone who's submissive to their man at a certain point.
Right.
Right? I found that to not be true about 2 out of 3 of them.
Okay. They've been communized.
Yeah, but they were like, so they were still, like their parents were born in Eastern Europe and stuff like that. So there was no reason to be brainwashed
mm-hmm.
at that point. Okay, how about this?
I was brainwashed for a little while there.
But then you came out of it.
But then I came out of it.
Okay, so let me rephrase the question. For any man out there looking to date an Eastern European woman, what advice do you have for them? Because I clearly needed this advice 10 years ago.
Well, you know, you said that they were very like, they weren't as traditional as
they would at times, but then they were Americanized at the same time.
Right.
Like, yeah.
And also, I do have to say, like, the way I was raised, mm-hmm. my mom's a doctor.
Okay.
So she was very much, like, you know, hustling and working hard. And
yes.
So I was raised with very traditional family values and to be an independent woman who's not going to depend on anybody but herself.
That's what I came across.
And then when, like, it just happened a few years ago, I was like, wait, yeah. I think these ideas conflict.
Yes.
I don't, wait a minute. And I had like almost like an identity crisis because I was like, on the one hand, I should be independent, you know, do everything by myself, not depend on anybody, blah, blah. But then also like I have very traditional family values and I believe, you know. So I think, what was it exactly?
No, it's like you said, there was that conflict of being both those people right. at once.
And did you want them to be a specific way? So was there something that you were against? In particular.
Yeah, I'm not one that I want to be with someone that's like super independent and they're going to do everything themselves. So there was moments where it worked out because they were being traditional where they wanted someone to be a protector and provider. But at the same time, they were like, oh, well, I need to do this because I want to make my own money and do all of that. So that was conflicting for me.
Mm.
So is everyone from Eastern European conflicted like that? Or if they come here, then it's like you get the message from the West and then you're...
I think I definitely had a phase where I was like, I'm doing everything on my own.
Okay.
It also had, like, the way my relationship was working out then with my husband, he was in school and I was, you know, I was kind of, not kind of, but I was working, I was making money.
Yeah.
So I kind of turned into this, like, masculine figure.
Okay.
Which is why I don't actually recommend women do that.
Yes.
Like, any financial responsibility of any sort, you have to be very careful who you give that to as a woman because... Okay. Not that I, you know, my husband was in law school, so there was 3 years that he had to do in order to get us to, you know, a whole other level.
Of course,
but it's very hard for a woman to do something like that or to hear these messages and not to turn into this, well, I want to be independent. Yes. So probably there was confusion on their end. I mean, for sure there was confusion on their end. They probably wanted all of the traditional things that they
were brought up.
They were brought up, yeah. And a lot of women work back where I'm from, but like I said, when it comes to like having family and like, for example, my sister-in-law worked, but then when she got pregnant, my brother was like, If you want to continue working, great. But if not, this is
on me.
There's
not the extreme of it.
You don't have to worry about the financial aspect of things. This is on me. Like, yes. You don't have to worry kind of thing, right? Yes. And that was like, that was amazing. That was praise. That was how it kind of usually works there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whereas here, like, when I said that to somebody, I can't remember, somebody I worked with, and she was like, oh, I wish my husband did that. And I'm like, he wouldn't?
Yeah.
Like, really? You know? Yeah. So anyways, I think there was some confusion on their part for sure. And I think for you, it's a matter of like, well, do you want to put your foot down and be like, okay, this is how it has to work for me. And if it doesn't work that way, then obviously you broke up. So it's probably.
Yeah. Yeah. I've also noticed that Eastern European women usually just end up being with an Eastern European man. That's what happens, right?
You know what? Most of the time, a lot of times. I actually had, my husband's Serbian. Yeah. But when you said that, before I met my husband, I had like not a very good experience with like my kind, so to speak.
Sure.
And I went into this whole, which is totally like, it's so stupid, right? Yeah. I went into a total generalization and I was like, I am never even dating a Slavic man again.
Okay.
Like Canadian guys are so much more respectful. They're so much more, you know. And then, you know, I meet my now husband, and I was like, oh, never mind.
Yeah.
This is what I'm after, you know? So, yeah, but also Italians are, I always say like Italy is like on the cusp of being Eastern Europe, you're kind of made it to the West, you know?
Yeah.
Because so many things, Italians are so similar in so many ways that.
I agree with that.
I would say like you still, you fall into that like Eastern European-ish category.
Okay, cool.
Not to categorize you.
I'm down to be in that category, to be honest.
Listen, I think there's a lot of things, but if I had to say, just to be hard on you.
Oh, wow. Okay, go nuts.
I think you also weren't the alpha that you are today.
Of course. Well, I was just younger too.
So it's like she was saying, like, did you put your foot down? No, you're probably just like, ah, fuck this. You know what I mean? Instead of like actually saying, hey, let me like invest
in this. Let me take the lead kind of thing.
Yeah, let me like put my foot down. You were younger too, so you were just like, ah, whatever. If you're not down, see you later.
All
right. Right, yeah.
Fair enough, no?
Thanks for the advice though, okay.
I don't even think I gave you advice. I was like trying to analyze, I'm like, okay, why did they break up? Because I'm gonna give them advice. Maybe wrong, you know?
No, it's okay. I was just wondering, you know? But now I think you actually hit it right on with that answer. Okay,
knows you better also than
we have maybe. Some like fun questions, but yeah, let's want to do these.
Yeah, hit the this or that.
This or that. You ever played this or that?
We're gonna finish it off with some things, this or that,
and then you choose.
Okay, then
this or that.
Whichever.
Okay. Yeah. Number one.
I'm scared.
Would you? No, they're not
just
that
kidding,
crazy.
Just kidding.
Would you rather have unlimited love or unlimited money?
Oh, stop it! Limited love or
unlimited love or unlimited money?
Unlimited love, because you could make things work and make like when I met my husband, he wasn't, you know.
True.
Yeah, but then now we're, and I wasn't either, but I'm like speaking in half sentences, but I feel like if you really love one another and you want to better yourselves and make your lives better and you're moving into the same direction, money will.
Okay. Let me add one to that one then. And then you go to the next one.
Yeah, you go.
Do you think that you can be in love more than once in your life?
Well, as far as I'm aware, from what I'm experiencing, no.
Okay.
But I haven't talked to anybody
about that.
Like, you should ask somebody who's like, oh, I've fallen in love once. Because there are cases, for example, when, you know, a spouse dies, God forbid, right? And then they find love again. So maybe.
Okay.
But.
Fair.
Yeah. My husband is going to watch this.
No, it's only you. I swear. Okay. Would you rather have a world without poverty or a world without war?
Mm.
Without poverty, because the less... Oh,
that's a tough one.
That is a tough one, because there's so many stupid-ass crazy wars going on even now that... Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't know.
I know.
You got to pick one. You got to pick one.
I was going to say poverty, because if people are wealthy, if people are, you know, doing well, if there's opportunity, I feel like there's less possibility for war.
True.
You know?
Yeah.
So, I would choose poverty.
Yeah.
And then we would figure out a way to, like, just calm everybody down along the way, right?
Okay, but what about if I say war is also a cause of poverty, too?
War is a cause of poverty, which it is.
But maybe if everybody was more wealthy, we wouldn't have so much conflict.
It's like the chicken and the egg. Which one?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll take the poverty one. That'll be your answer.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm definitely iffy on that one.
Yeah.
War is horrible.
It's a tough one.
War is actually the worst thing.
It is.
It's worse maybe it's war. Oh, let's move on to the next question. Both.
Would you rather live a short, extraordinary life or a long, ordinary one?
Ooh.
Short, extraordinary.
Yeah.
For sure.
Easy.
Yeah. That 100%. One's easy. I don't want to be like old and, you know, have to like, anyways, yeah. Yeah.
Boring
yeah.
life. Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Would you rather have the power to read minds or the power to see the future?
Read minds.
Yeah. Sure. Me too. That'd yeah. Straight up.
Fine.
Straight
yeah.
up.
Yeah.
I feel like you can see the future. Maybe not though.
Have you seen that movie? Oh my God. What is it called? With Mel Gibson. What Women Want.
I've heard of it. I don't know if I've seen it. I've heard of it.
I think it's from like early 90s or something. You have to watch it. Mm-hmm. He starts reading the minds of women.
Okay.
Specifically.
Okay. Okay.
Just women. And okay. it's, I think you're going to rethink your answer basically is all I'm going to okay. say.
No, well, I was just like, it's good. Like it was a good
It's thing? Really a good movie. Okay. Yeah, it's a really good movie. It's just, it's intense. Like when he starts reading all the minds of women around yeah. him. It's really funny. It's a really funny movie. Yes. But
so you would read minds.
I would still read minds, I feel like. Yeah.
See, I don't know about that.
But if I could turn on that function, not like all the time nonstop. I was nonstop. Gonna say,
because then you'd be in a room with you.
Guys, like, you guys can't change the questions though, you know?
Okay, okay, fair.
What are you gonna do?
I don't know. That's tough. That's so tough, because
I feel like we already see the future a little bit. You know?
Was just gonna say,
it's not
like,
hard.
For me, like, my intuition usually tells me, like, yeah. what's about to happen, yeah. you know? And I feel like that's enough warning most of the time, mm-hmm. but I'm like, okay, I'm good on that.
Yeah.
But reading minds.
Yeah,
but you can kind of sometimes read, not read minds, but you can pick up on things, you know? Like, yeah. if somebody yes. is, like, feeling something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, me too. I'd say reminds. Yeah.
This is a good one. Is it more important to you to be right or kind? I feel like I know what you would say.
That's gonna determine my answer. Ideally, kind.
Yes.
But realistically,
right?
Probably right, which is not the best quality, and I'm working on it actually.
No, but I think. If the past like 3-4 years taught us anything,
yeah,
it's better to say what's right than to just try to be nice, you know?
True. Okay. So truth versus kindness.
True. Okay.
Then
let's do
for
that.
Sure, truth. Yeah. yeah. If it's truth versus
like
kindness,
the harsh truth versus
for
kindness.
Sure.
Yeah.
That 100%.
Yeah.
Being right in like an argument, for example, with a loved one, sometimes okay. I'd be willing to let it go and be okay. like, okay, I don't want to, you know. You should ask my husband about that probably though, because he'll be like, but. Yeah. Truth and kindness, for sure, truth.
Okay.
Yeah, it's my delivery that's the problem sometimes, because if I get really blunt and, like, emotional, I'll just, you know.
Yeah,
that's me.
From
that's
a civilized like debate to, like, woo, you know.
Yeah, we are the same. Whole other, we are the same. We tend to, it's funny, even like, together, we were in Tulum. Quick, I'll tell the story. It's funny. We were in Tulum for a month, just working, prepping for the new year, whatever, and we had a friend and a business partner of ours staying with us. And there was a night where we were kind of deciding something about the business and like which direction to go. And, you know, between us, we're both Italian, loud and very passionate
and hard-headed.
And hard-headed. So when we're speaking about the business and like the future of it and making certain decisions, we both, at the end of the day, we both want the best for the business. So we're very passionate in the conversation. So this debate that we had for almost 2 hours, it got very loud.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll start to say things to each other like, are you fucking stupid? Are you this? Are you that? Whatever. Now, me and him, we know each other. That's how we talk, right? There's zero, none of it is personal. But our friend Matt, who was with us, he like walked into the living room and saw us battling it out. And he's like, he was very shook.
Right.
And so he left. And when he finished, he was like, dude, like, you guys okay? Like, were you guys arguing? And I'm like, no, man, that's how we make points. We're right. just very bold and blunt with each other. And sometimes it comes off in a insensitive
almost
way.
Almost like aggressive. Yeah, yeah,
aggressive,
yeah.
But like...
I told you you're like Eastern Europeans. It's the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. But the thing is, because we both know that, there's right. zero... Nothing's personal.
Yeah.
We both just want to get to the best outcome, right? So I think that and that's one aspect of it, but...
What did I say to you? What are you, stupid?
Yeah, no, we're both. Are you fucking stupid? And then, you know.
But that's, yeah, sometimes I talk to my brother and then like my husband is like, did you, like, is everything okay? Did you guys fight? And I'm like, no, we had an amazing conversation. Like, yeah.
That's exactly yeah. what, by the end of it, we're like, yo, thank God we had that.
Yeah, we're chat. Laughing, whatever. And he's like, you guys are fucked. And I'm like, yeah. No, dude, we both really care about and are passionate about what we were talking about. Therefore, that brings out the emotion.
The harsh yes. truth.
The, yeah.
And exactly. that just shows that you care about yeah. you know, the yeah. business. Yeah yeah, 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 for sure.
So anyways, just funny story. But
okay, we got our final question for you.
Okay.
Ooh. Christina, does money buy happiness? Oh.
Yes.
Yes.
I think so. I think that I always have this debate with my husband. I think obviously there's a certain level that you reach that covers what you need / want.
Okay.
And it makes you happy. I think if you make money the sole purpose of your life, you might run into some issues. So that's where my like divide is. If money is the only thing you're seeking and that is your purpose, you might run into difficulties. But if you're seeking like a higher purpose and you also believe that money will give you a comfortable life, will give you the things that you want, then I think it's when it buys you happiness. Yeah. Also, you know how they say, like, I heard that somewhere. It was like, if you buy a car, it's only going to, like, buy a new car. It's only going to make you happy for, like, an afternoon. Mm-hmm. My car, 3 years later, is yeah. still making me happy. Every time I look at it, I'm like, I'm so happy I have you, you know?
It's true.
So
money buys happiness.
I would say so.
I would say so, too, to be honest. You?
I love it. Yeah, dude. It's the name of the podcast. We believe in it. First of all, thank you so much for coming
thank
on.
You great conversation.
We appreciate it. Yeah, yeah, it was a pleasure.
Likewise.
Guys, we'll have all of her social links
check
in
her
the
out.
Bio. Check her out. And if you made it this far, we love you guys. Thank you so much. Once again, like, subscribe, leave a comment. We take anything. Yes, you can literally type anything. It's good for the algorithm. We'll take it. And on that note, Dean.
Yeah.
Yay. Boom.